A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.
I'm Nick Elliott, rock art photographer, and we're having a night in.
Should have a blow of that
before I get her.
I'll chop us out a fatter one than that, Nick.
I was going to say, you've got a whole table, that's not going to be good, is it?
Okay, here we go.
Just speculating what's all over those mince pies.
Right, Saturday night, welcome for a Christmas special to my great friend, Sue Royce, all the way from Lincolnshire, and my legendary friend, Mickey Steed, musician extraordinaire. Welcome, guys. Glad you could come along.
How are you?
Cold.
Yes.
Bloody terrible out there.
I know.
But big bits of snow. It's all going on. Proper big boy snow. Which is great for the Christmas show, isn't it?
I suppose.
Because you get right in.
Yes.
Right into that kind of let's record a Christmas single in July thing.
Yeah.
You know. And pump all this white shit in, you know, and then put it out Christmas Eve.
We've got the real deal.
You know what I mean?
No fake shit here.
It's the proper stuff here. It's proper stuff. But it's Saturday night and this is a night in and we're going to play a few tunes. And I'm going to start with a little bit of a traditional kind of Christmas special.
Oh, is it Bing?
This is a Christmas special. One of my Christmas special tracks.
Oh, that Christmas
now, that's
one.
A Christmas.
Yeah.
Is that a Christmas track or what?
A whole lot of tinsel. I love it.
Yeah.
A whole lot of tinsel.
Frou-frou and feathers.
Bit of AC/DC.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Obviously... playing a bit of a tribute to Malcolm Young, who died a few days ago, which was a bit of a shame. A band that literally changed my life when I saw him in 1999.
Wow, yeah.
Fantastic. It's London, funny. Wembley.
It's funny how things can do that, isn't it? You know, live music, you go and you see somebody, think it's going to be good, and you walk out like that was beyond good.
Oh, wow.
That was...
Yeah. Well, it did literally change my life. I don't think I'd ever seen anything as impressive. It was the Stiff Upper Lip tour. I bought the album a couple of weeks before, but just the complete command of their craft was untrue, absolutely untrue. And even now, it makes me shiver. You know, when you have those kind of experiences, when something makes you go all.
Hairs on the back of your neck jumping.
And that did. And I went with a very good friend of mine, a guy called Dev Lacani. And I'm actually wearing my AC/DC
beanie hat.
Which I got from the gig.
Oh.
Not from the band, admittedly. I had to buy this. I never buy stuff.
You're not a retail man because you're in the game.
Indeed. Yeah. You know, but I actually bought this because I thought...
Yeah.
You know, you can't, and I'd wanted to see them for years, but never ever did it.
No.
But it literally changed my life.
It was worth
1999.
The wait.
Yeah, it was. Anyway.
I knew nothing of AC/DC until Highway to Hell album came out, which I think was 1979. And I think this had been on a previous album, probably in 1978. Let it be rock, maybe. And obviously this is the live version.
Yeah, it is.
And it was only a few months after I bought that Bon Scott died.
Really?
Yes. He died in 79 or 80. He was staying with a friend in Dulwich, South London.
Yeah, found in his car.
Went up to Camden Palace and got, as he was wont to do, got absolutely, you know,
rattle
trucked and choked in the back of the car, sleeping it off.
Wow.
Yeah.
They found him next morning, didn't they? Still
did.
In the car.
Yeah, there's always been a bit of controversy about the bloke whose house it was and whose car it was. And there's a little bit of a mist over it all, but basically...
True rockers passing.
Mm. Yes, I suppose. Yeah. But then the other extraordinary thing is, they then decide, 1980, we're going to carry on. with or without Bon, and they find Brian Johnston, who's minicab driving in Newcastle, and offer him the gig.
Wow.
Because they knew of him because he'd been in, I'm trying to think what the band he'd been in. Mm. Oh, I think he was in a band called Geordie. And they had a big hit single called Can You Do It in the 70s.
Right.
So he had a little bit of enough fame for people to know who he was. Mm. And they were sitting around the table going through the very short list of people that might replace Bon Scott. And they come up with him. And then they got fired.
He didn't take it for serious, did he? When he first got the call.
He's driving a minicab in Newcastle.
This is silly, you know.
Yes.
Did he actually know AC/DC were?
I'm not sure about that bit. I don't know.
I've got a sneaky feeling he didn't know they were.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
That's even better, isn't
You'll realise, Sue, that Mickey Steed is the encyclopedia of all things musical.
Oh, yes. Twaddle. I learned so much from you.
The man is...
But can't remember Jason what? Orange.
Orange, yes.
Okay,
oh,
yes.
Oh. Ouch. Harsh.
No, sorry.
No, I mean, you are talking about rock royalty, you know, AC/DC royalty.
Yes, and the other thing I want to say about AC/DC, where I grew up living in Westcliff in Essex, in the next road to us was Cliff Williams's mum and dad. And my dad put their heating in.
Yeah. Did he really?
Yes.
Small world.
Yes.
Goodness me.
Yeah. And he's been in it since forever and ever.
Yeah, yeah, the original, and one still the original is. Members, yeah. You know. Yeah. No, I don't know what they'll do now, whether they'll do anything. I mean, they've been in a bit of a mess since the Brian Johnson thing, haven't they? But I did catch some of it when they pulled Axl Rose in. Jesus,
yes,
that
really?
Was good.
That was controversial, though. You saw it,
it was,
did you?
But no, I didn't see it. I saw a bit of E.T. from, was it one of the American gigs that they did? Or one of the, it may have been Milan or somewhere like that. But it was bloody good.
Was it
was good, Mike. It really was good, yeah. And I mean, let's just be honest, you buy a ticket for that, you're getting, you know, two bites
kind
of a very big cherry.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's true.
You know,
a lot of people were dead against it, I think. I mean, it
was
outrage.
The purists, probably. Yes.
Yes,
but,
that
you know,
would be
sometimes
the word for the purist,
taking a risk on these things sometimes can produce something wonderful, you know?
Yes.
So.
No, I mean, I didn't rubbish it, to be honest. I thought, well, like, yeah, why not? Why not? You know, this ain't some pub guy, you know, it was Axl Rose, who can do the job.
Oh, yes.
If he bothers to show up.
Oh, yes.
In the same city. What time is it?
You know,
yes. Yeah. I just think with things like this, as you say, the purists, that hits a nail on the head, the purists have a view of it. And I think it's because it's a bit like, I don't know, if one of the Moody Blues had suddenly joined Pink Floyd, it would have been such outrage because... Certain bands have a certain kind of, I don't know, disciplehood behind them.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And to go and play with somebody else, it's almost as if you're trashing all of your own...
Heresy.
Yes. It's as if you're disowning all your own back catalogue that's sacred and, you know, it becomes a bit like that, I think.
Yeah, I think... I'm sure we've had this conversation before. I don't support these kind of bands that... Let's go to Queen, you know, when not all of them are there and they still call herself Queen, and I have a bit of a problem with that.
Yeah.
I really do.
I've not had a problem with the Adam Lamb, not that I'm...
No, he's top drawer, that
yes,
guy.
Yes, and I think they've kind of gone back to where it was, but to drag Paul Rodgers into it and call it Queen and just have a man sing it in a completely different style to Freddie Mercury, I just think that's a bit odd.
Yeah, I agree. Well, call yourself something else.
Why don't you call yourself, I don't know, May, Rogers...
Yeah, and Hammerstein.
Taylor and...
Yeah.
And do musicals.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, a lot of dancing and, you know.
But if they just went out with their surnames, everyone would get it. Everyone would know who they
are. Of course. Yeah, I agree.
It's a funny tightrope, I think, to walk on.
It's not for me. I don't support that kind of thing, to be honest. I mean, I've got a friend who's going to go and see him in Sheffield at the arena. I think it's sometime in January. He's breaking his neck. Yeah, huge Queen fan. Mm. But you're not really seeing Queen, are you?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, it's like the Stones without Mick. You know, where do you go with that?
Hmm.
Now, what I mean, Kate.
Yes.
There are some things that are just left alone.
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. You know. I think so.
And that's not to say that people can't be brave, like AC/DC and Axl Rose, but that was never a permanent fixture.
That was almost a
one night only. Just a,
it was
you know,
a, yeah, a one,
a featurette.
One tour only.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
As opposed to anything particularly permanent, whereas the sort of changes that Queen have made, that you're talking about permanent changes
It's meant with the long term in view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
or a Christmas single that doesn't feature Noddy Holder when it slayed.
Poor old Noddy. He's been dining out for years on that tune, you know.
Well, yeah, and whoever, who was the other writer? Was it Jimmy Lee was the other writer?
Yeah. Yeah. And Don Powell was the drummer.
Yeah.
Jimmy Lee was the brain behind the whole thing, really.
I think that particular song, I mean, I think it's Holder,
oh, I see.
And,
okay.
Holder and Lee,
yeah.
I think, were the two. Because, I mean, shit, that done off. Rack it in every year.
Yeah. It's a good earner.
I might be making this up out the back of my brain, but I seem to remember reading somewhere that Noddy Holder wrote that. Did he write it in New York? He certainly wrote it in the middle of summer, which I think is really random.
Well, originally he had a different set of lyrics for it, which was about sitting in a rocking chair, and he has actually told me what the lyrics were, and I've forgotten them. But he'd had that kicking around for quite a while.
Mm. Had he really?
Yeah. That's a melody and a completely different set of lyrics. Yeah.
Well, I did some stuff.
It may be he was in New York and just banged out the Christmas lyrics. Yeah, I don't know.
I did some stuff with Slade a few years back and spent quite a bit of time with Dave Hill. And still could be spending some time with Dave Hill because he was just a lovely man. A really, really lovely guy. And he went through the whole story. And I thought that it was written in Noddy's front room.
Right.
But, that's just how I know it.
So don't take me admit why I say it's gospel, because it could be somewhere.
But as you say, Mike, it'd been laying around.
Yes.
Yeah. It gathered dust.
I remember him saying it was something about him sitting in a rocking chair.
Okie cokey.
And being a little bit, perhaps, slightly disorientated.
Oh, okay.
Possibly.
Oh, yes. Surprise.
Off his bloody box.
Chemically discombobulated, I think, or something. I think those are the
being
words he
creative.
Used. Yeah. You know what Noddy's like for a seven-syllable
word. Detaching from reality.
Wolverhampton, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wolverhampton.
Expanding the boundaries of the universe.
We've completely missed that great Christmas tune there.
Oh, Johnny Winter.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's a cracker.
Wonderful, man. Wonderful. I chucked it in, bit of a twister there,
it's a
really.
Great one.
You know, I don't, as I said, I don't really do the kind of traditional Christmas tracks. You know, I like to do Christmas shows that are essentially jack shit to do with Christmas.
Yeah.
But in saying that, we've got a complete room full of fantastic cakes.
I know.
I was wondering when you were going to get to that part, because I've been eyeing them up.
Well, actually, one brought by you, Susan.
Yes.
That
fantastic.
Was a beauty.
It's a proper pucker.
I nearly put it on.
Traditional Christmas cake.
It
just look a
it's
bit
got
like
that look of a hat.
A Frank Highfield hat.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I remember you. I remember Sue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, hopefully Sue's going to carve one up because she is clearly the expert.
Well,
not only in baking them, but cooking them all. Cutting the bloody things.
It does look splendid.
Okay, let's take the ribbon off.
Now, this was a bit of a treat, this. Picked by Sue. This was a serious treat for me. Brought back a lot of memories.
Oh, I think I know which one this is.
Wonderful Christmas track.
Yeah, hang on. Oh, yes.
Oh, lovely.
This is one of my favourites.
It's years since I've heard this. Absolutely years.
Well, I'm pleased he took it out of the...
What does this remind you of?
My mum.
Being a kid. I nearly asked you that, and I thought, no, don't ask. Mm. But, yeah, I did wonder that.
My mum. My mum was a huge Doris Day fan.
It's a classic voice, without a doubt.
Isn't
it's just
it?
Stunning.
Well, to be honest, this took me right back to when I was just a little old boy.
Aww.
You know, around about that Christmas time, and it was truly a thrill to even put it out. You know, God, this I remember being just a little old boy.
Yes,
mad for Christmas.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
And this, you know, we're playing. I think we probably had it as a family. I think my dad probably had it.
But there was also the ritual of getting it out of the sleeve. Making the gadget work. And
I don't know whether I'd be right in saying this was a 78.
It might well have been, mightn't
it? Yeah, I think it might have been.
There's that kind of crossover period, isn't there, of 1950s where there's 78s and
Cause then 33s. Because I don't know how old this is. 40s?
No, don't
late
know.
Late 40s, early 50s, yeah. I would have thought.
It's got a... early 50s vibe.
Yeah. I'm thinking but probably early 50s.
Without a doubt, this song is like the concentrated magic of Christmas.
Oh, God. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I totally agree.
And her voice is just amazing. I
yes.
There's something old about Doris her could too. Do it, could
There's
she?
Another one for me, though. Nat King Cole doing
yes.
Chestnuts Roasting. I think it's just...
My nuts roasting on an open fire.
We'll move away a little bit then. Put the half over it.
Is that what the smoke is?
But that's a real Christmas vibe song, isn't it?
Well, actually, that's in here.
Is it?
It is, because it's another one that comes really from my past of being just a lad, you know, and just family Christmases. Mm. Me and my brother, my mum and dad, you know, and their pets. It was...
Yeah.
Don't come better than that.
No.
You know?
No.
Not
You're
for
right.
me. Not for me. What's Christmas about for you, Mike?
Well, I've got my own parallels that you've just said, really. It always makes me think of my dad a lot. My dad's been gone about the same time as your mum. He went December 94, and he loved Christmas. He absolutely loved it. So my memories are much the same, really.
It's nice.
Beautiful.
That is a wonderful track.
Oh, I'm pleased it made you happy.
And here's another one.
Oh!
As this has got an earther feel.
That's it.
About
That's
it.
The one. This is my tune, this one.
I'm having a bit of Sue's cake.
Exactly, yeah. This is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Fabulous.
Ah. Jesus, that is fantastic.
That really is beautiful.
I'm cleverer than I look.
That is a wonderful Christmas cake.
Thank
I think
you
that's
very
the best
much.
Christmas cake I've ever tasted.
Oh, you're too kind. Thank you.
I want to use the M word that everyone says is a terrible word, but...
word would that be, Mike?
It's moist.
Oh, really? Mm.
But for some reason, there's a big boycott on the word moist.
Not round here, man. Not round here. You can get as wet as you like.
Oh, my God.
That's
at
that other level, didn't it? That's fabulous cake, Sue. Beautiful.
As wet as you like, as wet as you like, you know what I mean.
It's so naughty. Rise above it, Sue.
Oh, I do.
Oh, she does.
Yeah,
she
I do.
Does.
I give as good as I get quite often.
She's got a lot more style than that.
Unfortunately, not a lot of it's not actually for broadcast.
I know.
We do have good fun. We do.
It's all about fun. It's all about giggling, isn't it? It's where it's, you know, there's nothing else, is it? If you can't giggle, where's it all going?
You've got
it's wrong,
isn't
it? It's bloody wrong.
Of course it is.
Know what I mean? Jesus, this is seriously good.
Mm.
Bugger me.
Yeah. You see, to me, fruitcake, I know it's sort of gone a bit out of fashion now and people don't, you know, they don't make cakes anymore. They go down to Marksies or Waitrose or wherever and go and buy them. But for me, cooking and baking, that was an integral part of the lead up, if
yes,
you like, to Christmas.
Yes.
A lot of preparation to do. So we used to make all the mince pies, you know, the turn it round Sunday where you do the I always remember my mother making Christmas puddings in the biggest green Tupperware bowl we could find. It was huge. It was almost as big as the table.
Like a drum.
Yes, it was, yeah. And we all got, you know, we all had to help to grate the carrot and, you know, do all that bits and pieces. And we all had the ritual of stirring the pudding with a big wooden spoon.
Oh, right.
And then we'd put it in. And my granny would always cook them. And she used to cook them in enormous steam towers. You don't find them anymore. Or if you do, you find them at a stupidly ridiculous price in John Lewis or something.
Yeah.
You know, they try and fleece you for them. Well, thankfully, we've still got ours in the family. We've got ours in the family. So we just, you know, we lend them round. It is almost a ritual thing where we all get together and we all cook, we all do the stuff. It tends to be the ladies of the piece, but then that's farming families for you. It was never the men that used to do that. It's always the ladies of the piece that used to do that. So, yeah, the fruitcake, the Christmas puddings, the mince pies. I remember one of my grandma's favourite things to make would be like a pastry bottom with jam in the bottom and then sponge on the top, and she used to sprinkle it with a bit of coconut. You know, just for Christmas for us is always about the food.
Yes.
You know, and whilst you were doing the food in the kitchen, you used to listen to music.
Absolutely.
So it was all intrinsically linked.
No, completely.
But I'm quite pleased with that. That's that will.
No,
it's wonderful.
To face that,
it is. Oh, it's exactly. I think definitely the best one I've ever tasted.
Thank you very much.
It's a beauty, isn't it?
By a long way. Goodness me. Well, you can't whack a proper fruitcake, Mum. You can't.
No.
You know.
I mean, this one is quite unusual because I don't put nuts. I don't put nuts in it. But I do like cherries. And I can't stand these silly little slivers of cherry efforts. Nah.
Yes.
Bugger that.
I just tip the whole cherry.
I tip a whole thingy right into the mix. So you'll find whole cherries in there, which is always, a bit of a treat.
Yes, beautiful.
Always tastes a bit nicer. I get a whole cherry. Oh.
Yeah, with you.
But I don't put nuts in it. I never have.
Marvellous. Absolutely marvellous.
Yeah, it really
Thank you ever so much for spending the time doing it and bringing it.
It's all right. See, that's the thing about Christmas. It's making it with love and care.
So is that essentially what your Christmas is about then?
Yeah. I am...
Cooking, eating.
Yeah.
Families and
I
all that
Christmas.
Stuff.
I make Christmas. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I make Christmas. It doesn't... I think sometimes as kids we think that Christmas just turns up. It so does not.
Yeah.
It so doesn't. There's somebody working into the wee small hours of the morning getting all the tinsel and trimmings all up on the tree and getting the advent calendar because I make, we've got a little advent calendar and every year I have to fill 25 little pockets with chocolate.
Instead of, we
bought one, and so instead of buying one every year, you buy one that you just refill every year. Yeah. And it's like a Santa sleigh with lots of little Santa sacks underneath on little hooks. So I have to fill all those up, because then there's the tree, and then there's how many people are coming around for Christmas Day lunch. Usually it's 10 or a dozen at bare minimum. So it's feeding all that lot. By the time you've done on Boxing Day, that's it.
It's a real Blue Peter gig with you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a bit of Johnny Noakes.
Oh, it's a right regular Mary Berry effort, yes.
Bugger me, man.
But it's nice. It's hard work. I won't lie. It's hard work, but it's really nice. It's just worth it when you've got everybody around and everybody's smiling, everybody's happy, and you know they maybe don't recognise your specific effort in it all, but it's made Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's kind of nice. I can sit, you know, with me little bit of brandy afterwards and sit by the embers of the fire and go...
They come to yours, don't they?
They do on Boxing Day, yeah. Christmas Day has always been my mother's domain.
Right.
Yeah, that's the matriarchal hen. Never mess with the mother.
Right.
So everybody goes over on Christmas Day, and then everybody comes over to us on Boxing Day. It's becoming slightly more difficult, I suppose, particularly with modern families, because everybody's now all over the country. You know, once upon a time, you'd all be in the same locality, so it wouldn't be quite so much bother to nip round people's houses and things like that. Whereas now it gets a bit more... It's almost like a military-trained operation now. It gets a lot more involved organisationally and, you know, politics-wise, it becomes fraught with danger. Oh, well, you came to my house last year. Oh, well... And so it goes... I just sit there with my brandy and nod my head. I think that's the safest.
Get drunk. You get bloody drunk.
I think that's generally the safest thing to do.
I'm going to interrupt you because I want Mike to tell me why he's picked this track.
Yeah.
This man, Paolo Conte.
I'd heard of the guy.
Via con me, come away with me. And years ago, it'd be in the 90s, I was doing a TV show in Bologna, in Italy. And it was one of those typically European TV shows where completely eclectic. It's Italian, there was dancing, you know, like Tiller Girls with big feather.
Cabaret, yeah. Yes.
Backstage was like something out of a 1950s American burlesque film or something.
Right.
And there's a fantastic collection of people all backstage, all scurrying about and doing what they've got to do. A bloke turned up with about 25 pizzas in a stack, turned up. It was the most fantastic thing to be around, this TV thing. And in the middle of it all was this old geezer that turned up and was pinching the dancing girls' arses, having a swig out of a tumbler, smoking strong French cigarettes right down to just generally getting in the way and being a nuisance and a lechy old bastard.
Yeah, yeah.
And me thinking, why do they let this bloke just wander about here? This is an important thing that's going on.
Then he opened his mouth and sang.
And then I didn't think anything more of it. And then at the end of the show, the top of the bill was Paolo Conte, and it was him.
Really?
It's either looked like Lech Walesa, And he just come on with a geezer on a stand-up bass and a boat on a little jazz kit, playing this kind of quirky piano music. And it was him, and he's an enormous star in Italy. He's really getting on now. He's got to be 80-odd, I guess.
Right.
And I didn't know anything more of it. And in those days, it wasn't very internet-y and get things online and find things out. And so it kind of went out of my mind. 3 weeks later, I'm sitting at home watching Parkinson with my missus. And as the music-only interlude, he wasn't being interviewed, but folk just sitting there, is Paolo Conte doing this. And I said, that's him. I said, well, that's him. That's that geezer I was talking about, pinching all the girls' asses and wobbling around backstage, playing on the piano, backstage, all wonky and thinking, you shouldn't be playing the piano, mate. You don't know what you're doing. And it was him.
It was him.
Bloody hell, because, I mean, I didn't know anything about the guy.
He's great.
But he's got this real French kind of cafe type of vibe going on.
And I suppose, really, the way that he lives, that's part of his eccentricity. That's all part of the whole French
thing. I can't decide. Well, he's actually Italian. He's from Asti.
Right.
But, I mean, he's got this, I don't know, almost a Salvador Dali-esque thing
about it. Eccentricity, yes.
Yeah, the Italians have got that going on, haven't they?
They have. And he's such a... He's a mesmeric figure.
But they're so passionate about everything. They're rather like the French. They are passionate about food. They're passionate about their women. They're just...
Fashion.
Yes.
Style.
Fashion. Yes. And they take things to...
Paying taxes,
not so much. They take everything to excess, you know.
Yes.
Because they love life.
Yes.
So another one of Sue's choices.
I love this tune.
Billy John Bon Jovi.
Yeah,
I particularly like the video to this. It's very good.
Okay. Well, when I saw it come through on the list, I thought, well, hang on a minute. I'm not sure. Do I know that?
Yeah.
And I didn't know it until I heard
it.
Until I heard it. Wow. Then I put it together. But, you know, good track.
I think this, I mean, the tune, other people have covered it. But I think he's the one who does it. I think he does it the best, without a doubt. Just his the soulful part of his repertoire and his voice come out on this. I love it.
I mean, I'm talking here as a red-blooded man, and I know you are too, Nick, but I kind of get why people like this bloke, apart from he's a talent and he sings great. I mean, he's a
good band.
You know, there's everything there. And I would understand why women go, wow, look at this bloke.
He's just supposed to be a bit of a git, isn't he?
Yes.
I've
got a couple of stories that I'm going to kick to myself.
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of stories. Right. I'm going to do the same. Because I worked with them on the One Wild Night tour, read about that kind of time.
Right.
And... But they're as good as you'd expect them to be.
Often the greatest people in terms of talent, in terms of creativity, just in terms of walking into a room and lighting the place up, they often have their little, how shall we say, foibles, maybe? Eccentricities, difficulties that you kind of have to work around, but it's worth working around them because then they produce stuff like this and you go, wow. Mm-hmm.
They're in a bit of a mess now, though, I think, aren't they?
I'm trying to say yes, but I had a mouthful of cake.
Cake.
But yeah, I'm with you, yeah.
No, you eat.
They're pretty much over, I think, in the kind of original guys, haven't they, since Zambora walked and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I would imagine they're quite forthright people with each other and that generally, you know, personalities.
Mm. Yeah. Mind you, they've been together forever, haven't they?
Long time.
Zambora and Bon Jovi. A long, long time, right from the start. They were founding members, I think, weren't they?
Yes.
Got a lot of memories together.
But I don't really know what caused that. I have no idea how that came about.
Sometimes it's better not to know.
Is he still married to, what's her name? Richie Zambora's wife.
Oh, Cher. No, they had a fling, didn't they? Was that a fling or was that a full-on marriage?
I'm trying to remember who...
Richie Sambora and Cher, does that ring a bell?
I don't know, actually.
He's married...
I don't follow that sort of stuff.
He was married to one of Hollywood's... Well, Hollywood's American worldwide kind of heartthrobs. But I can't remember who it was.
Oh.
No, I can't remember who it was.
They do say John Bon Jovi's had more How's Your Father than Sinatra.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah, you'd probably believe that, though, wouldn't you?
I do believe that, yeah.
Yeah, you would probably believe that. different times, but
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Mind you, Frank had a few nights in, didn't he?
I think, yeah.
Just a few. Yeah, he did.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So what are you going to do Christmas, you know, Christmas Day? What do you do?
Christmas Day will be with Sue and the kids. My mum always comes to us. My mum's on her own, and she'll come to us. She only lives around the corner anyway.
Right.
Or, you know, comparatively, around the corner. Father-in-law, I don't know if he's coming to us. Sue's got two sisters, so he's on a kind of a rota, three-year rota of where he goes. I'm not sure if he's with us this Christmas Day or not. And then Boxing Day, we all meet up and everyone sees each other, the in-laws and the cousins and the whole thing.
So talking about the kind of gigging and touring and the rest of it, which I know you do a lot of, so do you kind of give this period a bit of a widey? You know, because, I mean, it's traditional, isn't it, for Muzos to work New Year's Eve?
Yes, and I always work New Year's Eve. To me, New Year's Eve is a nothingy night.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a nonsense. Sack of shit.
It never really meant anything. New Year's Eve to some people is a really big deal, but to me, it was just another day that I used to work. So, it was... For me, it's not a significant thing. Perhaps January the 1st, New Year's Day, might be a bit more interesting, but New Year's Eve itself, no.
It's always been something where I should take advantage of that and go and earn a few quid.
Gets my vote, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, it gets my vote. No, New Year's Eve's a nonsense, total nonsense. I've never bothered with it. And all this Happy New Year crap.
No.
Dear, oh dear.
No.
No.
No, no,
no. Good song. I can't really. This is a great track.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is a great track. One of your, yeah. one yeah. of your list.
Four Seasons, 1975 or six. This would be from an album called Who Loves You. Had December '63 on it as well.
Right.
It was. I think it was in that period where they'd become this. I don't know. Very slick American. They'd been in that kind of. I don't know what you'd call the Four Seasons when it started and Frankie Valli thing. The early stuff, Walk Like a Man and Sherry and all that. It was
Phil Spector kind of time, isn't it? Well-polished, well-produced material and stuff, you know. I know they obviously didn't have anything to do with Spector. But,
no, but it was in that idiom.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it really was.
Very clean.
Yes. Mm. But, I mean, December 63, what a song that was. Hear it now, it still reminds me of being... 17 and going in a disco in Southend.
Oh, right. Zero shit. Yeah, it's a bit of a trip.
The smell of Charlie in the air.
Lovely girl, weren't she?
I should just rationalise that. That cheap perfume I'm talking about.
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
no.
I thought it was a woman.
No, I'm not talking about a specific woman or any illegal substances that might... No.
No. Yeah. It's evocative of the era. Yes.
She was a fun girl.
She was.
The smell of Charlie.
I wish I hadn't said that. I'm
really you out of that one.
You know when you say something and you want to gather the words straight back in and it's too late, they're gone.
Believe me, Mike, I am the consummate professional when it comes to that.
I think it's lifted the even. I think it's lifted the even. I really do. Charlie.
Yep, the amount of times I've opened my mouth and gone... perhaps that wasn't the best thing to say.
Have I mentioned how moist this cake is, by the way?
Thank you, yes.
As I said, if you want to go wetter, you can do.
We'll have to make sure I put newspaper down in the carpet, though, you know, don't...
Your kitchen roll.
Yeah. Well, you do have some, if you want some.
I do declare, as I say, in the trade.
Oh, dear. Did I mention that I steeped up the fruit in this in nice...
No, you mentioned about your cherries.
I believe there's whole cherries in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. I'll give that a swerve, the cherry conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. No, I always soak my fruit, hence why it makes them a bit plumper, a bit nicer.
Right.
Now, you're somewhere there. It's a dark lane, though, this soup. It's a dark lane. People lurking.
I begin to see the twinkle in his eye and think, oh, no, we're not going there. No.
The unmistakable smell of Charlie. Yeah,
you know. Oh, dear. Yeah.
I wish I'd never said that.
That's going to go down in history, along with Pumpkin Gate.
I can actually remember the perfume, but I can't remember the smell, I've got to say.
I think I'd know it now if I caught a whiff of it. I think I would. Yeah, I think.
You had a lot of encounters with Charlie, did you?
It's lucky this is not live, isn't it?
And it was personal.
What do you mean it is?
Quite touchable, was it, Charlie?
That's live. Bedroom banter. Really, boys? I'll have your hands out and slap
dear
me in a minute.
Dear. There's always a lot of bedroom banter goes on here. There really is. Dear me. I think we should play something really loud and, you know, kind of change the mood a bit. This was a strange choice. This guy's cover of Hey Joe.
Yes, with a mariachi band.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, 1992 this was. Willie DeVille, who originally found famous in Mink DeVille, Spanish Stroll.
Yeah.
1976 or 77.
Is that the same guy?
Same bloke.
Really?
Yeah. You'd do well to have a look into this bloke.
I remember the single.
Yes.
I do remember the single. Yeah.
Willie DeVille is one of my little unsung people that I really like. And
it's a great call.
Not enough people know of him. It's a shame. Yeah. He died in 2009, aged 58, of pancreatic cancer, actually.
Oh,
really?
Great.
Yes.
Was it really?
Yeah. He's a very interesting bloke, musically. Mm. He's had a lot of different reinventions of himself, this being one of them.
Good track. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Again, the Mick DeVille kind of thing, or Mink DeVille,
Mink DeVille. His name's Willie.
Right, but that was the band, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was very much his band.
Yeah, it was just him, wasn't it, really, and a guy.
By the end of that band's life, it was just him and whoever he got in.
Right.
You know, so it was always his thing.
Yeah. And I kind of put the two things together, but then I thought, gosh, this is really good.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, it's a smashing version.
But some of the nights when you've been round and you've brought some of your collections in the past, you bring some fantastic stuff.
Funny old things. I'll tell you what, if you really want to get into this bloke, 1987 has an album called Miracle. It's produced by Mark Knopfler.
Right. Ah.
And he plays on it.
Really?
And all over the whole album, you can hear Mark Knopfler.
Yeah.
To the point where some of the tracks, you just think it's a Dire Straits song with some Hispanic bloke jumped on the vocals. You know. It's really good. Do it. No, honestly,
I'm not a lover of this kind of Latino vibe. I never really, you know, Los Lobos and those type of people. I know that, you know. That, well, probably the closest I've got to that is the Mavericks, really, which are more Americana.
Yes.
You know,
and I spent a lot of time. Mix, but, yeah.
Yeah, spent a lot of time with those guys. Yeah. Robert Reynolds, the original bass player from the Mavericks, when I first went to Nashville. Great band. But Robert, top man. But now it's totally gone off into a place that nobody really wants to go, which is a bit of a shame. But you know, I'm not a fan of Latino music and kind of Calypso type of vibe. But I did enjoy this. I really did.
Dig out Miracle.
Yeah.
Produced by Mark Knopfler. It's not Latino. It's very Dire Straits.
Oh, okay.
Just because of Knopfler's all
over.
Know. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah, I'm big Dire Straits.
He's an interesting bloke, this bloke.
I'll definitely look it up.
Went too early again, like they all bloody do.
Heffern FM's claimed some scalps. It really has. It wasn't doing very well last year. And now this year.
Yeah, the body count's been high again this year, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It really has.
But I suppose a part of the thing about it is at least every time one of them pops off, so their music comes out of the deep, dark cupboard and a whole generation of new people are introduced to their sort of back catalogue, which is... That can only be a good thing.
Yes.
Very sad, though.
It's a shame that has to happen before that transition can occur.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good track.
Yeah.
See, I like the Latino vibe. It's just fun. It's party.
Yes.
It's a good groove.
Yes.
It is. Yes. Yeah, you can...
Yeah.
You know, the mood going on.
True. I'm not so much into the Calypso stuff. I always think that's a bit pastiche.
Carmen Miranda and that type of thing and is a little heavy. Mm. A little heavy for me. It's a a bloody good track.
I think I've possibly been a bit greedy. We finished off a quarter of that fruitcake already.
I know, but I think we should also mention the fact that we've got a tin.
We have got a tin
full of homemade mince pies.
I've saved a bit of room, yeah.
No, okay,
saved
good.
A bit of room for
these are made by the crafting hands of your good lady, Suzanne, Mike.
Yes, they are.
And there's nothing like a homemade mince pie.
And it is homemade mincemeat, the whole
thing.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Mincemeat?
Oh, yeah. The whole
once you've made mincemeat, you will never, ever
well,
go back.
As Sue was describing earlier, very much that the whole
give
process.
Give it some, bowl work.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, my word.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. To quote Adam Rickman from Man V Food, oh, my goodness.
Kicking. Wonderful. Well, I'm not going to eat mine for the minute because I'm going to do some talking.
That's
otherwise, it's three geezers sitting in a room eating cake, isn't it? And <mince pies. laughs>
That's a bit of top pastry, that is.
Yeah.
Compliments to the chef.
Oh, well, lovely. She'll be pleased with that.
Well, they look bloody wonderful. I pulled this out. I really love this track.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I wanted to put some bits and bobs in there that I thought, you know, kind of just revisited a few memories for me. And a bit of Tim Booth. Good band. They were at this time.
Yes.
They're still touring, he's still touring, I think.
Is he?
Yeah. I shot him, did some editorial stuff. Bloody hell. Big festival in Nottingham years and years ago, around about this kind of time. Good, I really liked you. Manchester band?
Of course, yeah. James, yeah.
Yeah.
And Sit Down, I suppose, is the biggest one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, good song.
Man. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
The pub band that I'm playing we do Sit Down at the end.
Oh, really?
It's a great track to do. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And people want to kind of sway along and sing along to it. It's a great song. It's a great drum track, that loping...
Yeah, bloody good.
It's, you know...
Feel-good tune.
It really is a feel-good tune, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You see, James, for me, and that sort of vibe, that sound, is very much a reminder of my sort of second year at uni, because I was up in the Northwest. So this tune, you used to be bandying around all over the place. Long time ago. But good.
Yeah, very good. I don't know what. Don't know what year. No idea. I couldn't tell you. Yeah,
90s something.
But... Was it 90s?
Well, I went to uni in 96.
Right.
So it's going to be around there somewhere. I couldn't say whether it's before or after, but around there.
Off the Greatest Hits, this is. That's the only album I ever wore. For this track, all honesty.
It's funny how there are some albums that you think, actually, if that's what they've produced and they've let that out so far, what's the rest of it like? I'm just going to buy it anyway, regardless of whatever else they go for it.
Well, I'm quite a fan of a Greatest Hits album.
Yes.
You can't beat a Greatest Hits album, I don't think. Would you agree with that, Sue?
Yes, I would. I've got some proper good Greatest Hits albums. Yeah.
But no, you can't. There's a lot to be said for that, though, and the compilations and stuff there is on a serious
if
note.
If they're done right, they can
I
be
agree.
Wonderful. I hate, and there is a particularly large company of electric music that it's almost like a reinvention of the wheel. Every Christmas, every New Year, they rebadge up a whole load of DJ sets the like, and you just think, actually, do you know what? If I listen to last year's one, all you've done is you've just... You know, rejiggled it in a different order, maybe thrown a few extra tracks in.
Yes.
But essentially, it's the same thing repackaged.
Yes.
And you go to a different branded, same company, different branded thing, and you think, hang on a minute, that's the same stuff in a different sleeve. Don't fob.
Yes.
Don't fob me
don't
off
fob.
With that.
No, it's you're not, right, don't fob.
You know, so,
no.
I think if they're done right, they can be
magic. Oh, this has got the dance mix on it. Oh, was it?
So what?
Well, oh, was it?
Which
yeah.
is 2.5 days long.
Yes.
you have to drop an E before you can even.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's all right if you've seen Charlie.
Are we back on Charlie? Lovely girl.
Stop it. I can't believe that.
Lovely girl. Anyway. I'm going to play some it now, really.
What about Charlie Drake then?
No, I haven't actually. Okay. I've got his greatest hits. Or greatest tits. Charlie Drake plays Motorhead.
Oh.
I revisited this a few weeks ago. I was invited to a vinyl night. An old record night, really.
Brilliant.
And a guy picked this out, actually, which was a double album. And I thought, I actually owned the album. But for so, I don't own the album anymore, but I now do because I bought the thing on an MP.
Yeah.
You know, but literally on the back of that night, I thought, God almighty, this was good. They were a great band.
Yeah.
And I just loved Holly Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic frontman. I loved him.
Yes, yes.
Loved him. So I thought I'd whack this in on the old Christmas special.
Oh, I haven't heard this since it was about, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's how long that is.
I don't know when that would be.
80-something.
80s.
80-something,
yeah. I'm thinking mid-80s, I'm thinking.
But,
yeah, I'm thinking mid-80s.
Oh, Christ. And on this album, they I think there's about 3 or 4 covers. Of quite well-known tracks. I can't remember whether there might be Jerry and the Pacemakers. Ferry Across the Mersey.
Yeah.
I think they do a cover of that.
Yes, I think you're right.
Shit, man, it's good. Yeah. It's really bloody good. It's really good.
I'm thinking it's about, if it's the same album that's got Relax on it and stuff, I'm thinking it's about 84.
Yeah, probably would be. Yeah.
Because I'm trying to remember where I was and musically what I was doing, and it, which I won't bore you with, but I think 84 rings a bell.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I used to, spend a lot of time down in London around about this time in Fulham. I stopped with a friend who lived opposite side of the road to the bass player from this band.
Oh, right.
Right, who's called, okay.
I couldn't tell you who it was.
Well, my understanding of it was that the guy that played all the bass lines on that album, that had Two Tribes and Relax and all that, and was Norman Watt Roy from the Blockheads.
I know Norm. Yep.
Right, now, my understanding was that he played on them, but I don't know if that was kept a secret and it's all a bit of a...
It weren't the guy that used to front the band, right, was
no,
it?
No, no.
It may well have been Norm.
Yes.
It may well have been.
I've got a feeling Norman played on them. I'm saying Norman as if I know him. I don't know him. I know a few people that do know him very well. But,
well, I spent quite a bit of time with the Blockheads. I shot a couple of album covers and promo stuff from 203.
Did
right
you ever?
About that time?
Right.
Not with Ian, unfortunately.
No, of course.
But, I worked a lot with the Blockheads. And I think we've had this conversation
Mickey
before.
Gallagher. Yeah.
Mickey Gallagher, the keyboard player. But the Blockheads, fantastic band.
Yeah.
One of my all-time favourite bands.
Yeah.
By a long, long way.
Yes, they were.
Top
totally.
Guys. Top guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I didn't know that he was...
I don't know. I don't
the,
know if anyone's supposed to know that or if it's just one of those things like...
One of those urban myths.
Bob Holness played the sax on Baker Street. No, he didn't.
No.
Oh, well, who on earth ever dreamt that?
No, that didn't happen.
I mean, it's like, it was a bloke called Raphael Ravenscroft.
Was it?
I don't think Bob Holness even played the sax, bless him. He gave out a few E's to people over the years.
And a couple of P's.
A few P's. Yeah,
I think.
A few P's.
Yeah. Oh,
Blockbusters used to be my favourite quiz show growing up as a child. It's full of useful information, you know, you inwardly digesting. Oh yeah, you can hear the influence of Relax in there. You know, that background.
Yes.
Thing.
And I'm thinking, who was the guy that ended up doing the Buggles thing? Trevor Horn. I think he was behind this, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yes, he was. Yeah.
It's got that.
Yeah.
It's got that stable sound, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
I love the whole thing.
Yes.
I literally heard this, I thought, bloody hell. And it was from Pleasure Dome Albert.
Mm.
And this was the vinyl. You're on a turntable, on a good system, I've got to say. It was a really, really top end system.
Mm.
You know, I thought, God, that is good. Mm. That is so good.
Mm.
You know, and then literally... I thought, in fact, before I even left the building on that night, I bought the album. I bought it there and then.
Yes.
Yeah, on my phone.
Yes, just on that impulse.
Yeah,
of,
just and yeah, one of those things, buy it now, it really should be in your collection, you know.
Yes.
It's a staple.
Put it right.
Yeah. So I did. Now, I mean.
We get you.
But there's about four covers on it, I think.
I think you're right about Ferry Across the Mersey. That rings a bell now.
I'm sure it's Ferry Across the Mersey.
I think you're right.
It's really good. Really good. It lasts for about a weekend, the album does,
it's
you know, it's
right,
long.
Yeah.
Good full-length album, Sue.
Yeah. We like full-length tunes. You are tinkling again!
No!
What? You just, it's rude! You invite a lady over your bedroom tinkling!
I didn't know!
Oh my god!
It's a text!
You know what
that is? Text.
Do you know, I've been on this show before, I know what happens. You get a little ring and that's her saying, I'm going to be about 20 minutes.
Yeah, get her out.
Yeah. I'm going to be about 20 minutes.
You're not passing me out of the bloody window, I can tell you that.
This guy is... Well, that's...
As soon as I get away for that high karate, I know exactly what he's
I'm
up to.
I'm up to that guy, though. He does.
You know what he's
I don't
like.
Know where he's coming
hey,
from.
No, actually, I said I was going to do this. Give me your hand. No, other way.
Oh, goodness me. That reminds me of school.
No.
Somebody's spanking me bloody hand. And your back of your legs, that was a bastard, that was, weren't it? Did you ever get that?
We were caned
Mother
at my
God.
School.
Oh, yeah, well, I did the cane vibe.
We used to have the cane at our school, but I never got that.
Ooh, no. That was very antisocial.
Yes.
I was always very sensible, Steve, well, clear of that.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, that's
good. I never fancy trying that, right?
I shouldn't think you were the kind that got in trouble, though, were you?
Oh, I was once.
Were you?
Yeah.
Once?
Once.
Only once?
Yeah. I was in third year, probably. So what's that in new money?
14?
In new money, that's year nine. It was, ironically, it was Red Nose Day 2. And my school was known for being quite authoritarian, we don't do that sort of thing. So the school next door, they had a great big red nose on the wall. It was at the time where the powers that be within Red Nose had realised that actually they could flog off more than just red noses. They could, you know, maybe get a whole merchandising thing going on. I mean, it's morphed out of all control now, but at the time, the first one, you could only buy noses. The next one, you could buy big red noses for buildings. So the school next door, they were all into it and they had Mufti Day and, you know.
Yes, yes.
Oh, no. Our school didn't do that. No. In fact, the powers that be at the time within the school thought that actually it was quite wrong to I think they felt it was making fun at people's misfortune. Particularly, you know, people in Africa and things. They found this quite distasteful. So, no, this didn't happen. I think they kind of missed the point at the time. But anyway. So one of the fifth form decided it was a really good idea, that would be year 10, year 11, decided it would be a really good idea if we all went on strike and we went to the playground and we sat down and we got all the teachers to pay for us to come back into lessons. Now this was my first foray into the lesson that is communism. This is a wonderful thing and in theory, you know, and everybody sticks together, it works great. And had everybody have done it, all 600 of us, it would have been wonderful. And the teachers would have paid for us to come back into lessons and we'd have donated that to charity and all would be wonderful. Unfortunately, actually, when push came to shove, there were a lot of people who were giving it a lot of that, and when it actually came to putting the money where their mouth was, they went, running off, tail between their legs, back
to
lessons. So, needless to say, I was one of the people who, when I said I was going to do it, I actually did go and do it. And I sat in the playground. Unfortunately, I had one of those faces that was clearly recognisable by all the teaching staff. So there was no way I was going to get away without being recognised. And I was sitting down in the playground, and I remember one of the heads of year came and looked down at me and the look of disappointment on their face.
Are you wearing
was
Charlie,
palpable.
Girl?
Yeah, was palpable. And we ended up having to write an enormous letter of apology. I got detention. I had to write a letter of apology to the head saying how sorry that I was, that I had, you know, been clearly disobedient and I would never do it again and yap, yap, yap. And I was sensible enough then and now to realise that sometimes you just write the letter. It doesn't matter what you think, you just write the letter and get it done, get out the way, you know. So, yes, my first and only and ever detention was for, and I'm quite proud of it actually, was for civil disobedience, for standing up for something that I believed in, that I believed to be right. It wasn't just because I didn't bother to do my homework or the dog ate it. Or,
that's really good.
You know, I felt that that was a cause that was worth...
Good story,
so,
yes.
So yep. Now I,
a
you know...
A worthy cause.
Yes.
Totally agree.
So
a rebel with a cause.
Yes.
Indeed.
So needless to say that, I wasn't in trouble for anything else, but I'll tell you what, that was enough trouble for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I'll bet, yeah. I'll tell you what, we can't let going unmentioned that cake that you got this morning.
Oh, God.
I know you're not going to break into it yet, and for obvious reasons, it's a work of art, isn't it?
It's a bit serious, isn't it?
Yeah. For anyone listening, if you look on the Facebook page, I'm sure it will pop up on there, photographs of it. Our mutual friend Nicola has sent you that cake.
The lovely Nicola.
Mate,
I've
what
never
a
met.
Cake.
I've got cake
what
envy.
A cake.
It's stunning.
What
with
a cake.
Figures, I me know. With Father Christmas you, sitting on a yes. chimney top.
Yeah, it's amazing. Nicola Amos. I think you can find her on Facebook. I think she's Nicola-Jane. Nicola Jane Cakes. So probably on
right,
there
okay.
you'll find where she is.
I couldn't have told you that.
Nicola Jane Cakes, that's what she...
Oh, really?
Calls herself.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is a cake and a half, isn't it?
It's wonderful. Absolutely work of art.
The brickwork, the models, the
chimneys. The bit
chimneys.
That gets me is that the model actually looks like Nick. It yes. really does look like him.
He's yeah. got black boots on, he's got turned up jeans, he's yeah. got a black hat on.
A little edible geezer made out of
you?
Icing.
Yeah, don't eat him.
No,
don't
you
eat
can keep
him,
those. It,
well, we were talking earlier on, weren't we? You know, when you first got here, but it's cannibalism. Because you're
yeah.
eating yourself. Which
yeah.
is a bit odd.
Yeah.
Edible
you know,
art.
I mean, if you was to eat yourself, where would you start?
Well...
That's food for thought,
best.
Isn't it? You know what I'm talking about.
Fingers probably best.
Where would you start, Susan?
I'd start fingers first. Stop it!
But it is, it's really weird, you know, when you eat these things, it's not right, eating little people.
No.
Not to mention you'd feel quite sickly after, because it's all
yeah,
sugar.
Yeah, it's heavy going, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd be tripping be on sugar
going.
For at least 12 hours.
Yeah. Mind you, I'm not adverse to that, though, as I get
tripping
this
sugar,
sugar issue. Yeah, which is why I live on Werther's, really, why the addiction to Werther's.
Mm.
But we've got a bit of a Werther's treat coming up later, haven't we?
Yes, from the same cake.
From the same stable.
Yes. Werther's
indeed.
Cupcakes, I think, I promise.
Werther's cupcakes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very designer, isn't it?
Yes, that is.
That really is bespoke, going a slightly step further.
She knows you well, I'd say.
Well, it's a shame that I've never met the lady.
Oh, okay, right.
I haven't met her, which
okay.
is a bit of a
but
shame.
But she pays attention, obviously.
Yes, she
oh,
does.
Oh, God.
She definitely
like, well.
Does.
The research department has done
oh,
their job.
Crikey.
Definitely.
Not
wonderful. No, I think I can't thank her enough. I
it's
can't thank her enough.
Isn't it? It is, what an amazing
absolutely
job.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Nicola.
Yeah.
You're
wonderful.
Very kind, very sweet. Thank you.
Is Frankie still singing?
Indeed.
Wow.
This is the Alban version.
He's got staying power.
Aye. It's a great sound. Mm. And I've not heard it for years. I've so long since I've heard this.
Well, one that I always revisit at this time of year is The Power of Love. Now, that is
yeah.
an amazing tune, mate.
Yeah, that was.
Frankie's Power of Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the video as well
yes.
It's full of hidden meaning, where if you take it on its face value, you would maybe think one thing, but actually if you look at the symbolism and the stuff going on it, they're very clever. There's, there's a lot more going on
yes.
than just... what's on the surface. I think it's probably safe to say the same with their music as well. You could take it on face value, or you could really seriously listen to it and
yes.
really pick apart those,
a bit
like a layers of an onion, you pick
yes.
them apart, and there's a whole lot more meaning there than just as you would listen to it in the background.
Yes, more than just a dance groove.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you study, Sue? Lancaster?
Yeah, my alma mater is Lancaster.
Hey,
yes.
I've had a feeling it might be when you said northwest, I thought.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a Fildean.
You're a Lancaster bomber.
Yeah. Well, I always like to think of an honorary Lancastrian.
Okay. I can never look at her that way.
No.
Lancaster mama. No.
Lancaster this camouflaged military vehicle.
You're a Lancaster mama. Then. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, officially I'm a yellow belly born and bred, but I spent nearly 10 years in Lancaster. And it's like my second home. I adore the place. Now, true, Lincoln has begun to become quite a special place. It seems odd now that I go to Lincoln most days now, but when I was growing up as a child, we only ever went to Lincoln once a year, and that was Christmas, and it was a really big deal. I often think that now, driving into Lincoln.
What, Christmas in Lincoln?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, see, I grew up on the coast, you see, so, you know, going to Lincoln for Christmas shopping was a really big thing as farmers' kids.
So what coast? What, the East Coast?
Yeah.
Look, Lincolnshire coast.
Skeg Vegas,
Skeg Vegas, about 10 miles out, Yes, I'm Skeg Vegas.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it seems odd now that, you know, we don't take it for granted that we go to places like Lincoln. And,
in all the years of going to Skegness, musically, either Butlins or Richmond or the Embassy.
Mm.
I find, after all those years of going backwards and forwards there more than once a year, I've discovered what a fantastic beach it is.
It's wonderful.
When you did the photo
shoot. Yeah.
I never realised. It's a huge and fabulous beach.
Madly, as a local, I prefer it at this time of year. Because there's nobody there. And there's lots of space, there's big, huge skies, miles of beach.
We had a right giggle there, didn't
we? Yes, we did.
Several weeks.
Yeah, we did.
This tune.
This is a great track.
Oh, my word.
This is Mariah Carey.
There's a
little
Christmas
story
track
behind this tune, and every year, every time I hear it at this time of year, does it conjure up this image. When I was at said school, the lower sixth, particularly the art A-level group, of which I was part of, we used to have the job of Christmas decorating the school, particularly the main hall. And it was very much creatively left to us, up to us, to what we wanted to do with it. We had an art room full of acrylics. We had paper that would fill a room. You know, you could do what you like with it. And we decided that we were going to make this whacking great big Santa sleigh. And we were going to paint all the reindeer, each individual reindeer, and put the reindeer down the side. We were going to join up the reindeer with paper chains. And then there was a picture, a full frontal picture of the sleigh with Santa and all his presents. And we as a little group, collectively, we painted all these things. And this tune was chosen by one of my A-level art colleagues. And it went round on a loop every day for an entire week, and every time it makes me think of Lauren Davies and painting these murals. I wish I'd got a photograph of it all in the end, because it looked amazing. But every time I hear this tune, do I think of Lauren Davies and painting this sleigh.
And the faint whiff of Charlie.
She's been around, Charlie, ain't she?
In a faintly whiffy kind of way.
Yeah. Are we talking moist again?
No. What are you like, Nicholas?
I don't know. Well, I mince pies. What can you say about Suzanne's mince pies? Yeah.
And they were nice and full as well. I hate a mince pie where you go over the top and there's like a little tiny bit at the bottom.
Just covering the bottom.
What I can't understand is why you tip up here beach ready with the body like you've got. It's London Fashion Week, isn't it? As soon as you walk in the building. But with this food, I don't know how you do it.
Well, it takes a lot of doing it. It really does. Know.
See, whereas I always look like I sample the goods, but then you should always sample the goods before you give them away.
Of course you should.
No, Christ, really. I mean, if you eat this kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus, God, man.
Oh, you see, now I don't, because, and that's why, I suppose, really, baking all this sort of stuff is special to this time of year. Because if I made all this stuff all the time, you wouldn't get me in the studio.
You'd have to eat it, wouldn't you? And it's,
you can't let it go to waste.
No, it's nonsense.
Certainly not. No.
It's nonsense.
No, particularly when it tastes so good and it's made with love and care. You just can't. No, you can't. No.
You got five dress sizes
that
every lunch.
Yes.
You know, dear, oh dear, not good. Can't get in that black number.
Fat and happy. Yes.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that, isn't there, really?
Well, being fat and happy. Yes.
Well, yeah, there is.
Oh, fat and happy.
Yes.
I thought you were saying fat nappy. I was thinking, like, what's that? Fat nappy? What the
fuck? Nappy, what's
that?
What's
that? Yeah.
No, okay.
I don't know, I really don't. Dear, oh dear. I think actually, we might have to kind of finish the show on this, really.
Well,
time's getting on.
Of all Christmas records, this one, you know, can't be discounted.
I love this tune. I particularly like singing it in a choir. I love singing it. It's just one of those feel-good tunes when you've maybe had a bit, few too many and, you know, joyous.
Yes,
really
it
nice.
Really is.
And then it doesn't matter if you're not quietly in tune because it doesn't matter.
No.
It's just the collective singing it that counts.
No, well, I'm a fan
I think
of
it's a song about human frailties, and I think
yes.
it's the more flawed it is, the more real it is.
Yeah. See, conversely, the lovely Mr. R doesn't like this tune at all.
Ah, does
he's
not?
Not a fan of it, no. But then, you know, he sees it. See, his interpretation of it is slightly different. That's funny about music, though. You know, you listen to a tune and or you sing a tune, and the people listening to it will interpret it all in different ways. I mean, there is a thing going around Facebook which I always think is really topical, where a band can stand on a stage and there'll be 85,000 people standing in front of you and they'll all sing it back to you, meaning something different to the one that you're singing it to. This is a similar sort of tune.
Yes, it really is.
I mean, I like it because, as you say, it's that sort of human frailty. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's
the
life.
Human condition, yes.
It's life.
Waltz and all, the whole thing.
It's, you know, it's not perfect.
No.
And there are flaws in it, but it's a great feel-good tune that makes you feel happy. Well, it does me anyway.
Yes, and wasn't,
no, I'm a fan.
Wasn't she fabulous?
Oh, yeah, she's got a great voice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not a total fan of many Christmas tracks. You know, things like Elton John and Wham,
they're a bit tweesome.
Oh, bloody Wham, you know, dear, oh dear.
See, I never liked Last Christmas. I always thought it was very,
dear.
I don't know, frou-frou and packaged.
The traditional stuff, like we played earlier on, you know, Eartha Kitt and...
Yeah.
Doris Day and Nat King Cole and all that kind of stuff, you know. But this is kind of one of the more modern era that I think, yeah, I like this.
Yes.
I like this. This works for me.
Yes.
This works for me.
Totally. And that's not because she's not here. That's got nothing to do with it.
No, no, no.
No.
It worked when she was here.
It's a fabulous nugget of music.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, it really is.
This is the sort of tune that makes you want to jump up and just... grab somebody and get on the dance floor, you know, swing them around
Charlie?
A bit.
Would that be Charlie again? Yeah.
Well, you may certainly be discombobulated.
Don't make me look over my glasses at you.
Looking
over
glasses.
I think Charlie needs to go home.
Looking over glasses alert. Dear, oh dear. Well, guys, it's been wonderful to see you all again.
And you.
And it's been thoroughly enjoyable. I think quite a sensible adult Christmas show.
Yes.
I do. No crackers, no silly hats.
No.
So you can get dressed again now if you want.
I've got my Christmas tree earrings on. What more do you want?
They're very good, actually, they are. I expected the full Monty, to be honest with
did you.
I did. I expected hats.
No.
I thought you might do
less
that.
Less is more sometimes.
I agree.
Less is more.
Or keep them wanting more.
Yes.
That's my motto.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Merry Christmas, Sue.
Yes.
I think we should wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Yes, we should.
And a prosperous New Year.
Yes.
And hopefully everybody will have a good holiday. Because it is a holiday. And it has to be...
Yeah,
you know,
chill, relax.
Yeah, then it's a holiday. It's not just work and spend and all that. It's about having time with people who are close, friends, family, and thinking about people that are no longer here.
Yeah.
That, I think, is very important.
Yes, it really is. Merry Christmas, Nick.
Merry Christmas, Mike. Good to see you, my friend.
Lovely to
Thanks
see you.
Thanks for coming.
Too. Thank you.
And the gorgeous Sue. Merry Christmas, darling. Good to see you. Good to see you. As always.
I'm not leaping out the window or up
a true pleasure. Anyway, guys, listen, we better kind of wrap up. You better get off home and look at going and... Because it's snowing. It's still snowing.
I know. Just have
it's
a look.
It's very Hollywood.
It is.
Yeah. And baby, it's cold outside.
Oh, a bit of White Christmas. Right, wonderful. Anyway, guys, see you again soon. We'll do it next year.
Yeah.
Lovely.
2018.
Bye.
See you. Stay safe. Be careful.
Ta-da.
Bye.
A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.